Isaiah chapter 14, not unfamiliar to us tonight. Verses 12 to 15, we'll start there as we look into the subject tonight of the pitfall of pride. The pitfall of pride. Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, might I add here, God knows your heart tonight. God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. We might think we can hide them from everybody, but we cannot hide them from God. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So in other words, it would appear to me that Lucifer did not say to God, I want your throne. But God said, I saw it in your heart. That's something to keep in mind. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But we know that that's not going to happen because God's word says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Pride. The pitfall of pride. Pride is packaged in so many different ways in our lives. I would think tonight that we would all agree that pride is probably the most difficult sin to conquer. Because we might have it one day conquered, and then it turns around and it's right there the next day. Daniel 5, verse 20. Let's go there. We're going to read there in a moment. Daniel 5, verse 20. Pitfalls of pride. Let's have that ready there, Daniel 5. When we live in unrighteousness, we are driven by pride. When we live in self-righteousness, we are driven by pride. When we live in unrighteousness, we are rejecting God's rule over our lives. When we live in self-righteousness, we are cut off from the power of God. Pride steals the glory that only belongs to God. And I'm preaching to myself more than anybody. God deserves all the glory. And when pride is ruling in my life, I'm taking the glory. It only belongs to Him. We find this exact challenge in the life of Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5. In fact, one might think that Belshazzar would have learned from his own father, Nebuchadnezzar, and watched him be humbled by God. And yet in Daniel 5 and 20, God's word tells us, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the wild beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like... This is talking about his father. Sorry, I may have confused you. This is not about Belshazzar. This is about Nebuchadnezzar. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men and that he appointeth over it whomsoever will. Verse 22, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. I've circled that in my Bible. Thou knewest all this. I don't think I'm speaking to many people tonight that don't recognize the damaging effect of pride. I think we all would recognize how damaging pride is. and how destructive pride is. And here is the prophet Daniel saying to Belshazzar, you witnessed your own dad out in the fields like a wild beast. And then he humbled himself and God took all that away. And yet you still have done this. Yet thou knewest all this. But here it is. Hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. Thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Let's skip down. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, God has your very breath in his hand. God has my very breath tonight in his hand. I don't have any control over my heart beating. God is having my heart beat. God is having your heart beat. Daniel says, in his hand is your very breath, and whose are all thy ways? But here it is. Hast thou not glorified? Pride steals the glory that belongs to God. C.S. Lewis said, unchastity, anger, greed, drunkenness, and all that are mere flea bites in comparison. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every other vice, C.S. Lewis says. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. Pride. Pride does lead to many other sins. Pride, by the way, pride can hide itself. Pride can hide itself so strategically in your life and my life. And it can be there for a long time. Pride is deceitful. Pride is elusive. But like Satan, pride eventually leads to destruction. Go back with me to the Garden of Eden, and it was Satan himself who said to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said, if you eat of this tree over here, you're not going to die. You're going to be like God. Lust of the eyes. Right? Pride of life. Let's turn over there, back over there quickly. Genesis chapter 3. And if you haven't done this yet, and you don't mind writing in your Bible, if you don't write in your Bible, that's fine. But by Genesis chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it might be a good idea to write down 1 John 2:15 and 16. Genesis 3, 5, and 6. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, lust of the eyes, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. 1 John 2, flip over there. 1 John 2. So pride was a problem before creation, right? God said, I see it in your heart. You've said it over and over again. You want to be like the Most High, and on it goes. And then right away after creation, here comes pride. Because here comes Satan. Obviously, everywhere Satan goes, pride follows him. And 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Here it is. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's exactly what we saw with Eve and Adam in Genesis 3. Is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Pride was a problem in the Garden of Eden. Pride would continue outside the Garden of Eden. You remember when Cain and Abel provided a sacrifice And the Bible says that God did not receive Cain's sacrifice. And the Bible then tells us in Genesis 4, 5 that Cain was wroth. Pride leads many times to anger. I know we've gone back and forth here, but let's just go see that, please. Genesis 4. It's kind of probably not too hard to go from Genesis to 1 John because they're at one end of the other, right? Genesis 4, verse 5, "But Cain, and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth." What do you mean you don't like my offering? What do you mean it's not acceptable? Pride leads to anger here in Cain's life. You know, the Bible tells us that pride brings contention. Do you know there would never be another marriage problem if we could completely get pride out of our life? Because only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 13:10. I don't know about you, but when I read the word only, I think that's kind of like all, right, Brother Barry? You know? The only way we can have contention is by pride. You know, I found this to be the case, that it's hard to debate with one person. It's hard to have an argument with one person. Ever tried to argue with yourself? Maybe you have done that before, but it kind of ends quickly. Because somebody ends up winning, right? You know what I'm saying? Remember Paul and Barnabas? See, pride is not just for the nominal Christian to watch out for. Pride infiltrated Paul and Barnabas and their relationship. Remember, we looked at it a few weeks ago. Well, it's been a few months ago. Acts chapter 15. Let's turn over there. Acts chapter 15. So, you know, this isn't something that super Christian, whoever super Christian is tonight, never has a problem with pride. I mean, possibly the greatest missionary, possibly one of the greatest Christians in our Bible. The Bible says that there was contention between Paul and Barnabas. How does contention come, church? Only by pride. So then that we have to conclude from Proverbs 13:10 that there was pride in Paul and Barnabas. Look at verse 39. "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul," and so forth. We looked at that when we studied this, and there is a makeup to their ministry. There is a makeup to their relationship later on. But this just goes to show us tonight that we could be on our second or our first or our third missionary journey, I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek, and pride can come just like that. We can be just going right along, serving the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. We can go right along doing whatever it is that God has saved us to do, but pride can come and blindside us. And with pride comes contention. Another word for contention is strife. Strife. The pitfall of pride. Now, if you remember the hate list of sin, how many of you remember the hate list of sin? "These six sins doth the Lord hate," in Proverbs 6. You remember number one, right? It's a proud look. It's number one on the list. Proverbs 6. Let's turn over there. Proverbs 6. Seven things, right? But the first one, is a proud look. Proverbs 6:17. Jot it down. Proud look. The Bible says that this is something that the Lord hates. You know what pride does? Pride prevents me from rejoicing in someone else's victory. Because I wanted that. I'm not talking about material possessions. I'm talking about pride doesn't allow me to rejoice in the success of someone else. Do you ever, and we're not going to raise hands, but do you ever have that maybe it's just for a quick moment that, you know, somebody gets a $5 an hour raise. That probably never happens. Does anybody ever get $5 an hour raises? I don't think that happens. 50 cents would be nice, right? At least that's what I thought. But, you know, whatever. I'm just saying, even in that kind of a thing, and what we want to guard against is that immediately, instead of us, wow, praise the Lord, I'm so glad that, you know, Brother Barry got that $5 an hour raise. But sometimes if we're not careful, there's something inside of us quickly that can be, oh, man, I wish I could have had that. There's nothing wrong with maybe praying for a raise, but pride basically prevents me from rejoicing with those who rejoice. You know, it can happen to a pastor just like that. Let me tell you how it can happen. It's happened to me before. I've failed. Sometimes I've succeeded at it. When we hear of another pastor or ministry having a big day or something happened in their ministry, and it hasn't happened to this ministry, and you know what pride can do to the pastor, like myself? It can be, man, we haven't had that. You know what? Not only does it rob me from rejoicing with the sister church, it also robs me robs God of the glory. That when I hear of, Metro Baptist or whatever, Greater Vancouver Baptist or Grace Baptist or Heritage Baptist or whatever Baptist church, you know, instead of praise the Lord, man, that is absolutely amazing. I'm so thankful that God did. So pride is always robbing. It doesn't allow me to rejoice. Okay, here's another thought. Pride will not allow me to get help when I know I need it. Here. What happens when this happens? We go to the door, right? Even to look through the peephole at least. Did somebody order Domino's? That would be Jay, right? Pizza man back there. Yeah, he likes his pizza. Did somebody order Skip the Dishes? No, when I was a kid, if the doorbell rang or somebody knocked, man, I was running to the door. I don't know if you were like that, but I was like that. I want to see who's there. What I'm saying is tonight, if you need help, don't let pride stand in the way of getting help. Pride will not allow me to get help when I need it. Pride will always shift the blame. Pride shifts the blame. Here's something to read. Look at Psalm 138, please. Psalm 138, the pitfall of pride. Oh, we need a reminder tonight about this. I need a reminder tonight about this. Look at Psalm 138 and verse 6. Pride distances me from God. Now, he never leaves me or forsakes me. But look what it says. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. That's because in James it tells us that God resisteth the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. We're coming to that. So pride distances me from God. It's one of these things that God hates. So pride is a pitfall. Pride doesn't allow me to rejoice. Pride robs God of the glory that only he deserves. Pride shifts the blame. Pride is contention. So what do we do about it? What can we do about it? How about this? What should we do about it? What should we do about it? Let's go to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. I don't think I need to reiterate to you tonight or me tonight that there can be many times in our life where pride is prevalent and we need to do something about it. Psalm 25, verse 9 says, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." We need God's leading in our life. We need to be humble. We need to be meek. We need to be sensitive to the leading of the Lord. We need to know which way to go. It starts with humbling. It starts with submitting. Maybe write down that word, submit. Submit. Let's go to James 4 now. James 4. The word submit. Because remember, the king of pride is Satan. That's the king. So, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So he's the king of pride, and so God gives us the ability to defeat the king of pride. And it begins in verse 7. Submit. Submit. James 4, 7. Submission and humility will help us to overcome the pitfall of pride. What does it mean to submit? It means to yield to one's admonition or advice. Who does James tell us to submit to? To God. I can overcome the pitfall of pride by simply submitting. And it's not simple because there's so much that's trying to pull me down and I'm trying to pull myself down sometimes. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What does it mean? It means to obey. To submit means to obey, to be subject. How about this? A soldier subjects himself or submits himself to his commander. He is in subjection to his commander. We have one commander. God is our commander. God will never ask us to do anything apart from his word. He will never ask us to do anything that he won't equip us with the ability to perform. So we can be humble if we're willing to submit. This is the key to overcoming the pitfall of pride. True submission happens every day. It's not that we walk out of here tonight on a Wednesday night, the first day of September 2021, and say, okay, I'm going to submit to God. I'm going to resist the devil, the king of pride. He's going to flee from me, and I'm going to have victory. I'm taking care of it tonight. It doesn't get taken care of just tonight. Tomorrow morning starts over again. And God is there, by the way. He's there with us to help us to overcome the king of pride, Satan himself. True submission happens every day. Nextly, true submission learns to listen to God. Part of the reason why we can't hear what God wants us to do is because we have too many other things. You know, like Charlie Brown's teacher. You have no idea what Charlie Brown's teacher's saying. You ever watch Charlie Brown? You have no idea what she's saying. Wah, 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 wah. That's what God sounds like to us sometimes. Because we have so many other things happening around us, we can't even hear what God is saying. We've got to cut out some things. We've got to cut out some things in our life that are distracting us from listening to God. Remember, submission has to know what the commander is saying. True submission happens every day. True submission learns to listen to God. Lastly, true submission turns daily issues over to God. I can handle this. That's pride. Got to turn it over to God. I can handle this. Oh, don't try to handle it. Turn it over to God. He's got the whole world in his hands. That includes you. That includes me. See, just the simple thing of being able to, thinking that we can take care of it, that's pride. That steals the glory from God. It's turning it over to God and saying, God, I can't even make it through this day without your help. And at the end of the day, God has helped us to get through the day. And we have the opportunity then to say, thank you, God, for helping me get through the day. All praise and glory to you. I could have never made it through the end of this day except with you. And that could be just a simple thing every day. Then when a big thing comes and it smacks us over the head out of the blue, we've been submitting and submitting and submitting and submitting and submitting. And a big thing comes, and what do? We just submit like we did last time. We know that God's going to carry us through. And when God carries us through, we take no credit for it because we were just following our commander, submitting to his way. I've fallen into the pitfall of pride many times in my life. Many times it may never be known except by me and, of course, God. Because God said, I saw in your heart, Satan, Lucifer, I saw right through you. You wanted to be just like me. You're not going to be like me because there's only one God. Tonight, God looks through you and he looks through me. I hope what God will see in your life and my life is a desire to submit, be humble. And it's not just tonight. It's every day. It might even be more than one time during the day. God, I yield this day to you. I need you. Remember, only by pride comes contention. If you have contention in your life anywhere, right now, it's from the root of pride. It could be with your children. It could be with your spouse. It could be with a coworker. Only by pride comes contention. I'm so glad we can have victory over pride. And we should want to have victory over pride because remember, when pride is in our life, we're stealing the glory from God. And look, we can't earn our salvation, can we? Amen? You can't earn your salvation. You can't even keep your salvation. You're held in the hand of God. I'm not keeping my salvation. He's keeping me. So I want my life to bring glory to him. I can't earn anything. I don't deserve anything. But if I submit to his word and his way, and I can say, God, thank you. All glory to you. Let's ask him tonight. Let's ask him tonight. Maybe we need to repent of something tonight. Maybe not just ask him to help us to have, you know, to submit, but maybe tonight there's just a clear thing right there. And we've got to say, that sin, that's wrong. God, forgive me of that pride right there. It's right there. It happened today. I don't know.